This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning. It is Thursday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out with you on yet another rainy day for the city, but hopefully you're driving safe out there. Did you do any more nursery stuff last night, Bo Morgan?
No, but I should have.
What do you mean you should have?
Well, I had to drop my truck off yesterday. Appreciate my boy at DJ at Joe's. Up there
someone
in
hit
Woodstock.
It.
No.
Wasn't me.
I'm not. Look, the last 2 years, my truck has been in a body in the body shop that my buddy runs. So I'm trying to stay out of there. No, my brakes went bad, and it'd been about 3 years.
Kind of important.
Yeah, and when you hear them, Tiff, just a heads up, because I know you like to push things to the edge.
My car's been crying for me to go get my oil changed.
Like I said, I know you like to push things to the edge. When you hear as you stop,
it's not good.
That means you need new brakes. And
thanks.
They're grinding. So I just wanted you to know that. And so I'd heard that noise, and I said, got to go.
Yikes.
And so I had some time while I was waiting, and my buddy Bristow went and picked me up, drove me home, because Amy was doing her job. Or she has to do their visits. And I was like, it's raining outside. There's nothing. I can't even go for a walk, right? Because I'm not walking in the rain. I know Tiff will do it. I'm good.
Did it the other day. It felt good.
Yeah. Well,
I'm surprised. I've never done it before.
I'm good on that. A little too chilly and wet and cold. And I'm like, I'm going to put together like this dresser for it, which is also like the changing station. And I grabbed the box, and I looked at it, and I said,
not today.
Self? Yeah, this can wait till Saturday.
That's going to be a problem for future, Bo. That's not going to be a problem for today.
And I went back downstairs and sat on the couch for like an hour and a half till Dylan calls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I couldn't go to the gym. I didn't want to Uber to the gym. And,
yeah.
And I was just like, well, all right. Well, you know, we'll get to it when I get to it.
Yeah. That's
so no.
I see you when I see you, changing pad.
Yeah.
And all that. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I did go stand in the nursery and say,
visualize.
I need to do this, and this will go there. That doesn't look bad because no one will see it once I put this in front of it. Yeah, I did that.
You know what's funny is we bought a dresser for my daughter's nursery when my wife was pregnant with her, and the dresser was way too short, so I never ended up using the changing pad on top of the dresser that like came with it. You know, kind of like you're talking about. I'm assuming it was like way too far down for me. I was like, man, I'd rather just put her on the floor and just sit down, like take a knee, you know, take a squat, change her, no big deal. Speaking of which, we're coming up on her 3-year birthday, and she needs to get rid of those diapers, man. It's time. Like, I'm like, dude, it's time to. I'm out of that season of life right now. Time to turn the page on that.
And that was a little bit of a struggle with Ridge, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I mean, not
absolutely.
Bad. I mean, I think to be fair,
yeah,
it's a struggle for almost every person I've ever talked to that, yeah, when they tried to potty train their kid, like, you know, you have to trick them and, you know, you kind of have to, it's not just like, hey,
it's just,
hey, you poop in a potty now. Just,
like,
they're involved.
Potty training is just like anything. There's a million different ways to do it. Some people just decide to take the diapers off of their kid for like a week and just, you know, like over like spring break. And you teach them that if they go to the bathroom, they're going on themselves. And that's just not, we have not taken that route. I'm like, no, I'm good on that.
You shame them? Like a dog when you put your dog in nose in it?
No,
like
you're not shaming them.
Like you're not supposed to do that.
You're teaching them that they're going to the bathroom on themselves when they do it. And that you just leave them without pants basically for, you know, a few days.
It's
and
then a pants evidently party they learn. And you don't have any.
No pants party. Pants free. Keep the pants at home. Yeah, that's essentially what we've had friends that do that. They're like, nah, man, just you jump in with both feet into the deep end. Just completely take everything off. That way they know if they go, they're going on themselves. I was like, yeah, it's just not going to be the way we go about it, but I respect it. So, yeah, nonetheless.
Those people must have, like, hardwood floors and stuff.
You have to. 100%. Well, that and, you know, the puppy pads and things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of people do that when they're potty training their kids. I swear.
Puppy pads for kids?
Yeah, you put them on the floor just in case they pee, like in their play.
You know? It's like a precautionary. That's expensive, though. Those puppy pads aren't cheap, man, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I guess it's better than, having to clean your carpet or whatever if you had carpet. So
or hardwood constantly. It's a lot of Swiffering.
A lot of little divots and cracks in that hardwood that you got to get into. You know what I mean? I'd rather not have to do that either.
Yeah, you have to have Uncle Beaver come and redo it after that.
Yeah, it's not the way we wanted to go about potty training our house, but nonetheless, man, here we are. We're good to go. But yeah, it's time for my daughter as she turns 3 in 2 months. It's time. It's time. She's ready to go.
All right, let's just pivot here and hit the front page. This segment brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. Well, we talked a little bit about this yesterday because Matt Patricia, you know him as a longtime DC for the New England Patriots. He had a visit at Ohio State. And now from Pete Thamel of ESPN, he reports that Ohio State is finalizing a deal to make the veteran NFL coach Matt Patricia, the school's new defensive coordinator. This is what sources told them yesterday. So the move to bring in Patricia comes with the corresponding internal promotion of their secondary coach, Tim Walton, to co-defensive coordinator. And Ohio State will also be promoting their safeties coach as well. So he's replacing Jim Knowles, who left for Penn State to take the same exact role. But it's official now.
I heard someone, I wouldn't hear it. I was reading it. What's the guy? I think it was Bobby Carpenter who was talking about it. I think it was Bobby Carpenter, and he said that he had dealt with Matt. I can't remember who it was. Former guy that played with Matt Patricia, and he was like, if you don't think Matt Patricia can't connect, if you don't think that he doesn't know how to basically get his players on the same page and elevate their play with a connection from how he coaches them and how he interacts with them, then you're completely off base. He knows what he's that good. And look, I'll take his word for it because I think he was a terrible head coach and he was a terrible offensive coordinator and he was a terrible DC in Philadelphia. And he didn't elevate those players. And Vic Fangio did.
Damn, that's rough. That's rough. But you're right. You are right, and I'm with you on a lot. It's one of those things where you look at it and you go, yeah, I'm sure it'll be good because you're going to have really good players. There's no doubt about it. What do you do? And obviously, crunch time, you're talking about the defending national champions, the second highest paid head coach with job security, which seems like it's pretty good right now, and a guy with NFL pedigree. And this game is different in college than it has been in a very, very long time. I'm sure he'll fit right in, and then he'll do just like Chip Kelly and try to find a job a year from now back in the NFL.
And, like, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a smart move.
I don't either.
On all fronts. But, hey, coach, lose the pencil.
Good advice there.
Keep the beard. Lose the pencil.
That's right. Keep the beard. Beards are essential.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the Atlanta Hawks come up short against the Knicks. They fall 149-148 in overtime. So Jalen Brunson made the go-ahead jumper with 11.1 seconds left. And, that did it.
Speaking of beards.
Yeah.
Trae Young.
Hey, and you know what stinks is I'm looking at my social timelines last night during the game, and it's like, game of the year. This is awesome. What a game. Hawks, obviously, a huge comeback right there at the end. Dyson Daniels, just, I mean, the guy's, he's an absolute magician when it comes to handwork. I mean, like, I feel like that, you know, the way his hands work on defense, an absolute magician, big steal right there with, you know, just a few seconds left in the game. I'm upset that the Hawks were on the short end of one of the games of the year, but I'm also like, you know what, man, what were you, a 7-point underdog in this game? You thought that maybe the Knicks being on a back-to-back might help, but Karl-Anthony Towns continues to just absolutely obliterate the Hawks in these kind of situations, and they're a good team. This is one of the best teams in the NBA offensively, and you couldn't stop them.
Yeah, he had 40 points in consecutive games for the first time in his career, so he reached 40 last night.
Yeah, you got 42 points and 20 rebounds with 12 assists and 4 steals from the three guys you got, from LeVert, Mann, and Yang. And now Terrence Mann didn't do much from the scoring, but he had, like, what, 3 steals?
Yeah.
In other words, you got production from three guys as opposed to getting production from one guy in DeAndre Hunter when you made that trade, because Bogey was giving you essentially nothing. And I think that's important to say, because this team is better. I think they're better after this trade this season, because and just looking at it from what they're getting from these guys right now, Niang and LeVert were phenomenal last night. Trae Young dropped 38 and 19. There's a guy who wants to DM me every time on Twitter. I'm a little ill now, because everyone thinks of me as this Trae Young hater, and I've literally been defending Trae Young for 2 months with this dude, and finally he wants to message me last night. I go, dude, I'm done with this conversation. If you think the Hawks would have been better with Luka, good for you. Because he's like, well, Luke, he like, oh, see, Trey's not tall enough. Luka and Trae essentially made it. I know Luka made the finals, and they were drubbed, all right? And he looked like a petulant child in the finals. So much to the fact that his team literally said, you know what?
That's a big word.
We're done with you, man. Yeah. We're washing our hands of you. Go play for the Lakers and screw up L.A. because we're over it. Whether it was right or wrong, I don't know. But I'm done hating or hearing hate. If you're going to message me with hate on Trae Young, it better be freaking legit.
Well, the overarching news last night on the Hawks front, definitely the injuries to Vete Krejci and Larry Nance coming down, that both those guys will be out for a significant amount of time. And no matter what you think about the trade, you should be a lot more happy about the trade after those injury news comes down, because you actually did develop some depth. And without Vete Krejci, no matter what you think of either of those guys as players, without either one of those guys, you would have been in a bad, bad situation with some of the injuries you dealt with, obviously with Jalen Johnson, going all the way back to Kobe Bufkin. I mean, that's four of your top 12, 13 players that are out for a significant time. So having Caris LeVert in the fold and able to do some of the things that are necessary, having some ball handlers, having some guys that can shoot, no matter what you thought after the trade, after the injury news yesterday, you ought to feel a lot better about where the Hawks are because these guys are in the lineup.
I always love reading the box score, and you get the Kobe Bufkin did not DNP, right shoulder surgery. And I'm like, maybe you don't need to put him on there. I think we know, like, just leave it off.
I think it's just, you have to. It's clerical, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Kirk. No, I'm just kidding. But, like, it makes me laugh because it's like Garrison Matthews and Keaton Wallace, DNP coach's decision. Then you got right shoulder surgery. Yeah, I think we're good on Kobe, but yeah, as you would say, as you said, like, you know, and Kirk Cousins is infamous now for, not famous, infamous for, is it's just a clerical issue.
Yeah,
no big deal. We'll see him in a little bit. He'll be back at some point.
But I mean, you go to like the Knicks, and it's like Matt Ryan, not that Matt Ryan, but DNP coach's decision. Tyler Kolek, DNP, sprained right ankle. Okay, that one I can get. Like, maybe, you know, maybe he could have went if necessary. But that shoulder surgery, I think it's going to keep you out unless you're going to have a one-armed man out there playing for you.
Hawks back in action against Orlando on the 20th, and that's because the All-Star break is now upon us. It's out in San Francisco this year, so I got to couple friends head out there to work. That should be good times. All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, we'll get you the latest when it comes to mock drafts. Who's going number one? in this year's NFL draft. That's just ahead here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year. Was not expecting that Day-Day, or excuse me, Dylan, to pop up in the music. So it is that time of year. I'll try again. Mock drafting. It's Bo's favorite time of the year.
Is it, though?
It's like Christmas for you.
Well, the actual draft is like Christmas. I've just unwrapped gifts I didn't expect the last few years. I mean, they've turned out to be great gifts. But I just didn't expect those gifts, you know? It's like
surprise.
It's like asking for the GI, back in the day, like GI Joe had this big like command center thing, like this almost like a Air Force thing, and then instead of getting that, I got like, you know,
Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, but it was like the greatest Stretch Armstrong you could ever get. Like the souped up model.
There you go.
Yeah, which is what, you know, Bajan was when I wanted Nolan Smith, or Michael Penix was when I wanted, I don't know, anyone that could rush the passer.
So maybe you'll be surprised again this year, or maybe you won't, according to Field Yates' latest mock draft. I'll get to who he has the Falcons taking at 15, but at number one, he has Travis Hunter going to the Titans.
Yeah, I think Travis Hunter is probably the best player in the draft, and realistically, like I just think he... Right, you know, you look at it, he's a dual threat player, can do play offense, play defense. You're going to draft him as a cornerback. I think he could step in and be, you know, right off the bat as good, if not better, than Sauce Gardner.
Do you see him playing both positions? This is a question that a lot of guys were asked, that, you know, all NFL players end up going to the Super Bowl in some capacity. A lot of them do, and they do the whole media row, and guys were asked their thoughts on if he's going to end up playing both positions in the league.
I personally think he has to if you're going to take him number one.
Well, yeah, but he's not going to play 1,500 snaps.
No, he's not going to play every snap. But I think I think you have to use him returning-wise and offensively if you're going to take him number one. I don't think by himself as a corner, I don't think he's a number one player. You just don't draft a corner number one. If Phil Yates is saying, hey, he's the number one overall guy and he's going to go to Tennessee, first of all, Callahan better have a plan for him up in Nashville, or else you've wasted a pick. And if you don't have a plan for him to actually have the ball in his hand, then you've wasted a pick. You have to have something that says that utilizes his talent that make him the number one overall player.
How many snaps then is reasonable on offense? Because he's going to play every defensive snap. So let's say that's 50 snaps. I mean, it's probably going to be more because their defense was very good last year. Maybe it's 60, but say 50 to 60 snaps there, and then what? 15 to 20 on offense, maybe 15.
I mean,
that's a lot of snaps. That is a lot of snaps.
And I know from having him at, you know, Colorado with Deion, it was always a battle in a good way to try to keep him off the field because he just wants to play. It's going to obviously be different, you know, at the NFL level. You're going up against grown men, not fellow college athletes, which obviously he's going to face some of those guys too. But they're going to have to manage that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think you're right with what you said. He is going up against grown men. He's going up against the best of the best, and
they've been in the league for years, veterans.
Yeah, it's not a knock on college. Look, there's a reason. How many college teams are there? 120,
130 something now.
Yeah, so there's a reason why it's like 1% of those players or something like that go to the NFL.
Does the NFL take a different toll on your body than college football does?
Absolutely.
So,
and you know what? I've explained this numerous times. These guys in college football are in better shape than the guys in the NFL. They just are. Like, you are, you can see it right now. You go see the videos. I think Georgia's going through it right now. I know Alabama is. They go through these winter workouts. They do all this stuff. They go through spring ball. You get done in January with the NFL, and they're like, hey, dude, we'll see you in April. Now, you go to your personal trainer. You get your lift in and everything else, but you're not taxing your body because you can't throughout the offseason. So a lot of these guys in college, they have the younger body, they have, you know, the ability to do things kind of year round. They're in great shape. So Travis Hunter's gonna have to stay on top of that when he does move to the next level and make sure he is prepared to kind of do both things. It goes back to the old Anthony Richardson taking himself out on third down. I mean, that just like it, you can be gassed in situations like this. Not only that, but you'll act like if he does turn out to be a dynamic offensive player, you can bet that some of the times he's on defense that you'll be running go routes against him just to make him run, right? You'll just be trying to wear him out by the second half and making sure that you utilize a deep threat on him every time that you can so that when he does come out offensively that he doesn't have the same juice. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough task for him. It's a tough assignment either way.
And to that point, if you know he's going both ways, as his defensive coordinator, do you ask him to travel? And if you're not going to ask him to travel, then can you justify taking – do you think his offensive exploits are going to be enough to justify taking him one? Because for me, I know you, Mike, you said that, you know, it sounded just an up in a cornerback take number one overall. That's great. If I do take you number one overall, you have to travel for me. I have to run a system where to justify it. And I think that's – and I know it sounds silly, and that's not how you want to coach is justifying draft picks, but – if I've got a shutdown corner that I took over a franchise quarterback, potentially in like a Cam Ward, then I have to get everything I can out of him.
Yeah, would you take him number one?
If I was the Falcons and I was drafted number one.
If you're
one
the
right
Titans?
Because
I don't think I would.
I'm going to say this.
I don't think I would.
If I evaluated the quarterbacks, right?
And they need one.
Yes. And I said, these guys aren't good enough. They're not. These aren't franchise quarterbacks. These guys are stopgap. They're not it. Like Cam Ward, Shedeur, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe. These guys are not going to take me. They're not Jaden Daniels.
So you can afford to do that because you can try to maybe rely on free agency to try to get your quarterback.
Well, you for a stopgap, yeah. Well, if you go get a Travis Hunter or an Abdul Carter,
yeah,
who you think can change the game for you defensively, then yeah, go get a, I don't know, Sam Darnold, Russell Wilson, maybe a Kirk Cousins, depending on, and say, hey, next year's quarterback class is, our scouts tell us next year's quarterback class is infinitely better. This guy can get us to next year, and then we can go get that guy, and we can win 7 or 8. You have to show improvement as Callahan, right?
And here's the other thing. The other part of that is not only does that affect what you do at number one if you need a quarterback, but it also affects your ability for teams like the Saints, for teams like the Raiders, for teams like the Giants. Like, can you deal that pick if none of those other teams hold as much value? Because those other teams need quarterbacks too, and how much value are they placing on the number one pick if you would like to move down? Otherwise, who do you take if you don't like? Because I personally, if I was sitting there, I'd probably take Abdul Carter. I would just be like, dude, this is the guy that I think is better than everybody else.
Well, if you watch the Super Bowl, you'd probably take either Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU, who Phil Yates has as four, Tiff, yeah, or you would take Abdul Carter, because trenches win championships.
So I'll run through kind of the top six here, and then we'll have who the Falcons are taking. We can continue that portion of the conversation because we're running out of time here. So at two, he has Abdul Carter going to the Browns, like you just mentioned, Cam Ward going to the Giants, Will Campbell going to the Patriots, Mason Graham going to the Jags, and then Shedeur Sanders he has going to the Raiders. And then jumping all the way to 15 there, and you guys, we've talked about him on this show, Mike Green, the edge rusher from Marshall, that is who he has the Falcons taking at 15.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny what he said about him. You know, great first step. Now they are, everyone's recognized he has a power. He does. That's what I saw. You know, I could tell it. Arsenal of moves, he does. Has multiple moves. Good in the run game. I mean, he looks like the overall guy. And he knew what he put in there, too. Well, he passed his test against the best test he had. He passed it against Ohio State.
Will Howard, I was going to say the right tackle.
Yeah. He did. He dominated Will Howard.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. And look, he is an upper echelon guy. You get down past what you're doing with Mike Green, though, and I think that's where, you know, look, I think the first guy on the board for me that you would hope falls is Jalen Walker. There's no doubt. I think he brings so much athleticism that you need. But then the problem I'm having with Mike Green is I don't know that he's that high without that Senior Bowl highlight. And then you get down past him, Shamar Stewart is at 16, Walter Nolan's at 17. I think I'd rather have Walter Nolan in that slot than Mike Green. Just truthful.
If you can do anything financially that you have any money to spend, there's a couple like Josh Sweat and Milton Williams are both guys we saw in the Super Bowl who are free agents. If you could get one of those, it could also alter what you do with this pick. Like if you get Josh Sweat, you could get Walter Nolan, who's a play inside. If you get Milton Williams, you could get a guy like Mike Green or one of these Nick Scorton, one of these other edge guys that we've talked about that can get after the quarterback.
We'll continue this conversation throughout the show, but up next, we'll give you some college football headlines next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. So don't know if you guys have been paying attention to what's been going on out there, but Kendrick Lamar brought bell bottoms, flare jeans back, and I've been seeing a lot of videos of men either going to shop for these jeans or borrowing their wife's old or significant other's jeans. Now, the jeans he had on were by Celine, a designer. They were, I believe, $1,500, but I'm sure that he might have had them custom, all that stuff. Yes, Dylan.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Kendrick Lamar did not bring the bell bottoms back. They were already coming back. People were already wearing bell bottoms again.
That. I don't know why you didn't just interject that, because I was going to say, this is a typical, it doesn't affect my life, so I'm not paying attention
for
to it.
Poor dudes.
Like, whatever.
Dudes are, I promise you, Tiff.
No, I haven't seen any, I guess men in my life, I have not seen anyone wearing bell bottoms.
They were already wearing them. They were already back. Kendrick Lamar just hopped on the wagon.
I'm getting tongue-in-cheek here.
And he's getting the credit because he did the Super Bowl.
Because you don't like him because you love Drake. Yes,
Kendrick Lamar's moment is over.
Go ahead and put that disclaimer on there.
Drake and Party Next Door are dropping an album tomorrow.
Because that was a Super Bowl halftime performance, and we're going to be talking about Travis Kelce in a second. That's why I bring this up. Would you wear them, Dylon?
No, I would
you're
wear
tall. You could pull it off, Dylan.
I think I could pull them off, but I wouldn't wear like bell bottoms because bell bottoms do have a certain shape to them.
That's the shape that.
Yeah,
Kendrick was. Yes.
He definitely was wearing bell bottoms. I don't mind like a baggy jean now, like that takes up like, you know, the bottom,
so
like arc of your shoe. But no, bell bottoms specifically, no.
I'm curious why the height thing matters.
Because you can't be like super
Kendrick
short
is
with
short,
bell bottoms.
And he wore them, but I was just saying you could probably
not
pull
bad.
It off.
I wore JNCOs and I was short.
These are fitted around the buttocks and thigh area, and then they flare out.
Yeah, yes. They don't. I don't. I'm looking at them.
Lenny Kravitz has been wearing these for eons.
They don't.
These are made out of leather, though.
These don't. Yes. Everything he wears is made out of leather, which is that's another conversation for another day. And I like Lenny Kravitz a lot. These don't look like traditional bell bottoms to me. It looks like. I understand why they're called bell bottoms. They just don't look traditional like bell bottoms. But when I saw them on TV, I was like, is he just wearing jeans that are like is he like really a 32-30 and he's wearing like a 32-40?
No, when I saw it, I immediately knew. I think all the women at least out there, we knew what those were. And just picture them with like a clunkier shoe in the 70s. And that's what he had. If he was wearing something like that instead of whatever sneakers he had on, then that is exactly how it would look.
I kind of looked like he was about to be in a Rough Riders video because he had the leather jacket looked like a street bike jacket to me. And he had those shoes. Now, you couldn't see them, but they kind of looked like riding shoes, like, you know, like driver's, almost like the old, like a shoe for like a bike or something.
Yeah.
I thought he had the gloves. To me, it looked like he was in a biker gang, but like a street bike. Not Hell's Angels, but like street bikes, like
you bring up a completely different point, but I do have to point this out. I could not be an entertainer from the sheer fact that if I did a 30-minute show or 20-minute, whatever it was, I'd need an IV afterwards. Like the amount of sweat that would come off my body from dancing around 20 straight minutes, everything I was wearing would be drenched. I think that's probably why you wear leather in a situation like that.
Okay, so I don't know why I've always thought about this, but
that could be a singer.
That you could be a singer, I could be a singer.
Just joking.
No, if I was a musician, what I would perform in? Because I've given it thought because I've gone to a decent amount of concerts and I see people wearing a lot of different stuff and I always think if I'm to somewhat on Mike's line of thinking about not an IV thing, but if I'm a musician and I'm going to perform for what let's just say 70 minutes, right? I want to be as comfortable as possible. So I'm probably going to be out there looking like a bum like I do right now and like a hoodie and basketball shorts. But, you know, you go to different bands. Like Kiss.
I'd have to layer up, yeah.
Kiss wears all this makeup and the moon shoes.
But that's what makes them.
That's their thing.
Yes.
I was even thinking about this watching Kendrick Lamar going, man, he's got to be sweating his ass off. And it doesn't seem
That's
fun.
What I'm saying, dude, I'd need an IV afterwards.
I've seen the German band Rammstein come out, and they come out in this white. They have this like white powder stuff, which is fire retardant because they play with fire on stage.
Pyro show.
Yeah, but then you see other bands like Fred Durst and Limp Bizkit used to wear like the khakis and the white T-shirt and the backwards.
I was gonna say
Yankee
Tim McGraw comes out in like a skin tight white V-neck that he probably gets a new package of every single
show. And his jeans are literally spray painted on.
I would sweat through that white V-neck before I hit the stage.
And cowboy boots. Imagine walking up and down the stage in cowboy boots. Like that's not comfortable for me.
No, no. So, but they probably like people are making custom shoes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of performers, because Travis Kelce did take the stage in Taylor Swift's New Eras tour. I don't know if you guys saw that clip going around.
I didn't, but he was probably better than that than he was in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, he has this podcast, the New Heights podcast, with his brother, Jason Kelce, and all these questions looming and being asked about if he's going to play next season, if he is in fact going to retire. Well, he's had a couple days to think things over. Let's take a listen to what he had to say on the podcast.
I know everybody wants to know whether or not I'm playing next year, and right now I'm just kicking everything down the road. I'm kicking every can I can down the road, and I'm not making any crazy decisions, but right now the biggest thing is just being there for my teammates and being there for my coaches. You know, I've been fortunate over the past 5-6 years. I've played more football than anybody. The fact that we keep going to these AFC championships and these Super Bowls, and that means I'm playing an extra 3 games more than everybody else in the entire league. And that's a lot of wear and tear on your body. That process could be grueling. It can weigh on you. It can make you better, and it could drive you crazy at the same time. And right now it's one of those things where it was kind of driving me crazy this year. And I'm going to take some time to figure it out. I think I owe it to my teammates that if I do come back, that it's going to be something that it's a wholehearted decision. I'm not half-assing it. I'm fully here for them. And I think I could play. It's just whether or not I'm motivated or it's the best decision for me as a man, as a human, as a person to take on all that responsibility.
Speaking of outfits, Day-Day just walked in the control room dressed like a mob boss. But I hear this and I think 90 different things run through my head. I have the fan thought of, you know what else is wearing and tearing your body? Traveling the world, following your girlfriend around when you could be resting your body, training, and working on your craft.
Why isn't he resting when he's traveling?
I mean, come on, man. Do you rest?
You think
when you
he's not traveling without his? I believe he traveled with his trainers.
Yeah, well, it didn't work hard enough then. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh.
That's the one thing I think. And then the other thing I say is I hear him, you know, talking about playing the extra games, and there's a lot of truth to that. But the reality is that's also a privilege that a lot of players wish they had, is to play in those extra games because it means you're winning and it means you're doing your job. But when you also hear him talk about, I got to think about it, you kind of wonder and think, and you watch his performance and his body language more than anything. Body language is what I think to have players.
Yeah.
Is where is his heart at, and was it already away from the game?
True. Well, you say the privilege for some players, but you have to look at everyone. What stress, all that kind of stuff is relative. It's different for everybody. So what makes somebody happy may not make another person happy.
And what I mean privilege is I don't know about the happy part, but the privilege.
But he talked about how taxing how grueling that process is to still be playing this late in the season, which is great, but I do understand probably where he's coming from.
And let me ask this question from a different perspective to both of y'all. What are the reasons that he would come back? Like, what are the reasons he would return and play another year or two?
The only reason that I can legit, and I talk about legacy with the privilege, because your legacy is stamped as the greatest tight end in postseason history. And that's because he's had the privilege of playing in all these games to do that. And there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of great tight ends that never had that. To answer your question, and I understand the stress, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, to me, if I was him, I was sitting in his shoes, the only reason I would have to come back after winning all these titles, already cementing yourself, is to say, is to work my, and I'm not saying he hasn't, but work my butt off to hit a different, figure out whatever was missing this year, hit a different gear, and go out not having the worst season of my career. Because based on stats, it was his worst career with catches, yards, touchdowns, and he played in his worst That game Sunday was the worst game of his career, and I would just want to go out where I said that I wasn't at my worst.
And I can't remember if it was in the bite that we just played from him or not, but I know he did talk about not being able to be the guy or be the guy his teammates lean on in some of those crucial moments. So if I were him and I were wanting to come back next season, it would probably be something, obviously, for yourself, where you're wanting to come back and kind of put the season that you just had very far in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're on the same line. That's what it'd be for me.
I mean, I agree with you.
Those are selfish reasons, but they're still reasons to motivate you.
The truth of the matter is that you're talking about giving another year to the sport, from, you know, taking it out of your body, taking it out of your time, and giving it another year to get back to a situation that you don't even know that you can get back to. And I think that's really what he's talking about right now. And I honestly hate that he did this version of that podcast so soon after the Super Bowl, because you're still so mentally taxed from everything you've gone through for the last, 5 days, 4 days, whatever it was, that I almost wish he had said, no, I'm not going to go into that just yet. But he was an open book, and I'll give him credit for that. It's just that your point about, you know, getting back and not having the worst postseason, you know, game of your career, there's no guarantee that they'll even get back to the postseason. So you're talking about committing yourself to your words, at a new all-time level, finding another gear to possibly get back in this situation
it's a chance that you would take if you're wanting to do that. Like, he knows there's no guarantee, but it's the fact that, okay, I can come back and try to help get this team back in there. Also, you're playing with a generational quarterback.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes. Well, they're all still going to be there.
It's also all he's ever known, though. And so I don't even know that he realizes, you know, and there's going to be somebody that's like, well, you know, hey, I know why I'd return and make $15 million or whatever he's making.
Yeah.
But that's a guy who's already got eight figures in the bank. Like, you know what I mean? And a billionaire girlfriend. So, I mean, like, that's not something that's probably speaking to him either. He's got his zeros. He's not worried about his financial future.
Yeah, he's got – he would have – if he had kids and his kids and their kids would be fine financially. I agree. I think that's where love for the game comes in. That's passion, and what does it mean to you? Look, he doesn't have to come back to give it more. He's given everything he's had to this point in his life. And
he'll go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and there's no and there's no doubt, by the way, that he's left anyone any room to question anything he's done on that football field.
Not at all.
And that's not what I'm saying. You asked me why I would come back if I was him, and to me, it would be to say that I went out when I was still at my best.
Yeah,
and I think that means I give him credit for assessing the situation, wanting to, knowing he needs to assess the situation, because there are way too many times we sit here and have these conversations, and it's the other way around. We're saying he should have quit 3 years ago.
Well,
they should have hung him out. I never should have seen Jerry Rice in a Seahawks uniform.
1%,
even though he caught a touchdown, I still should have never seen it.
Yeah, 1% of the 1% step away when they're at the top of their game. Like, that's just the brutal nature of this business. I mean, 1% of the 1%. Like, nobody gets to just say, even Hall of Famers. Now, even when you look back at all the Hall of Fame classes, a lot of them got cut to end their career. You just don't get that opportunity most times.
Of all the Super Bowls, of all the MVPs, of all the playoff wins, that might be Tom Brady's biggest achievement. Is when he stepped away at 45 freaking years old, he was still playing as a top five quarterback in the NFL. That might be the most amazing accomplishment in the history of the NFL.
And you look at Travis Kelce again. If he does decide to hang it up now, then there's nothing wrong with that. You've had a illustrious career. And like I said, you're going to end up being in the Hall of Fame. No one's really going to get into this season what he did. Because at the end of the day, he was in the Super Bowl. He was part of a team that made it to the Super Bowl.
And he had one of the greatest AFC championship games a tight end can have. I mean, I know that it was a game ago and almost, 3 weeks ago now? But he still happened. And so he wasn't as far removed from playing great as maybe the stats showed.
When we come back here on the morning shift, we touched on it earlier, a mock draft that has the Falcons taking, we'll tell you, who at 15 next at the top of the hour. We return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.